John chapter 18, and we're going to look at verse 37. Throughout this month, we've attempted to revisit from time to time the story of Christmas, but also in my preaching through this month, I've wanted to make sure that we revisit the significance of Christmas. You see, it's one thing for us to know what happened, to know about the manger and Mary and Joseph and the angels and the shepherds and the wise men and all of those things. It's important for us to know the what of Christmas, but it's even more important for us to understand the why of Christmas. Why did God do what he did in sending his son Jesus Christ into this world? And there's no more powerful statement of that than what we find in the words of Jesus in John 18 and verse 37, where Jesus says to Pilate, or Pilate begins, "You are a king then," said Pilate, and Jesus answered, "You are right in saying, I am a king. In fact, for this reason, I was born. And for this, I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Now, this is a great Christmas text, and it's one of those passages that is not found in the Gospels where we learn about the events of the birth of Jesus. It actually comes at the end of Jesus' life. As a matter of fact, just hours before he is crucified, Jesus gives this powerful explanation of what the purpose for which he came into this world. Now, if you go back to verse 36, just to set everything in context here, what is happening is that Jesus is having a conversation with Pilate. He is before Pilate, and Pilate has the authority to condemn Jesus to be crucified. Now, there are two kingdoms that are colliding here, represented in the figures of Pilate and Jesus. There is the kingdom of military power and political power and force, represented in Pilate and the Roman Empire. And on the other side, there is an invisible kingdom led by the Lord Jesus Christ, who inaugurated the kingdom of God. And so what's happening here is in this conversation, there's a collision of kingdoms. And as this conversation goes on, Pilate is looking for a way to try to trap Jesus. And he asks him a rather loaded question back in verse 33 when he asks the question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" You see, Pilate is trying to get Jesus to say something that will incriminate himself. And Jesus answers him in verse 36, and he says, "Yes, Pilate, I do have a kingdom." But his kingdom is different. Again, verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." And Jesus goes on to explain what is so unique about his kingdom. It is a kingdom that is not built on political power and military power and financial power. It is a kingdom that is built on truth. And the rule of Christ would not be the rule like a king over some kingdom or nation. It would be an invisible reign that would exist first in the hearts of people. But one day we know that his reign will be visible when King Jesus comes and establishes his kingdom forever. And so Jesus comes to make this incredible statement in verse 37 when he says, "I am a king, and in fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth." Now, I want you to just look at this amazing sentence, this statement here that Jesus makes, because there's some important truths that are found just in this single verse. First of all, there's something here about the pre-existence of Christ. There's something about the pre-existence of Christ. You notice he says in verse 37, "I was born." And then again he says, "I came into the world." Now, we've talked about this a lot this year, and I've wanted to drive home this truth repeatedly. This is one of the most important truths for us to remember as we celebrate the incarnation. The fact is that he was born. That is, we know what it means to be born. All of us were born. Most of us here today were born, all right? Some of you may have been found under rocks or whatever, but most of us here were born. We know what it means. That's the way we enter into this world. And it is a statement of our humanity. But it says not only that Jesus was born, that he He went through the normal, natural process of becoming a human being. But also, it says that he came into the world. He said, I came into the world. So there was an I before he came into the world. This tells us about Christ's eternal existence in the presence of the Father, and for how for 33 years God took upon himself the form of a human being and lived among us and became God with us. And so Christ existed before he was born. Now, I know for those of us who are parents, this is a little bit weird. You see, our children did not exist before they were conceived. There was a moment in time when, in the hiddenness of their mother's womb, our children were conceived, and then 9 months later, they came into the world. They were born. But the fact is that when they were conceived, something came into being that had never existed before. And that is true of every child that is conceived and ultimately born. A new creature is coming into the world that did not exist before. But that isn't true about Christ. Christ existed as a person before he was conceived and before he was born from Mary, his earthly mother. His birth and his coming into the world was God for 33 years taking on a human body and living among us in this world. Now, why is this doctrine, along with the doctrine of the virgin birth, why are these doctrines so important to us? The reason they are important to us is that every one of us is surrounded by people who have different worldviews and have different views about Jesus. And many of them will admit and agree that probably Jesus did indeed live 2,000 years ago. That he was a great teacher, that he was a courageous leader, and he set an example by dying for a very worthy cause. Surely he was a wonderful man, but in the end, that's all he was, just a man. And therefore, none of the claims that Jesus makes in the Gospels can be taken as really true or as authoritative, because after all, he was just another man. And what the doctrine of the preexistence of Christ, the doctrine of the virgin birth, teach us is that Jesus Christ was not just a man. He was fully God and fully man. And when he became fully man, he did not lose any of his godness. And we need to understand that, because Jesus made an enormous claim in the Gospels. He claimed to be God. Now, there are many people who have ideas about Jesus, but Jesus has this reality and truth about himself. He said it repeatedly, I and the Father are one. I am God. Now, either he was a liar, or he was a lunatic, or he was Lord. And of course, we know that he was and is Lord. And that's why we need to be reassured in this age of the preexistence of Christ. There's something else about this text I want you to notice. There's something here also about the existence of truth. The existence of truth. And again, look at verse 37. For this reason, I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. To the truth. And so there is truth out there. Truth that everyone should believe. Not just a few of us, but everyone should believe. In verse 37, it is called the truth. Not a truth, it is called the truth. So the truth comes from outside of the world, and it gives direction and meaning to everything that happens in this world. It existed before this world. It did not come. This was not the invention. Truth is not something that some wise man invented along the way. It existed, according to the Bible, it existed before the world or any human being was ever created. And so the truth is out there. Now, I know it's Christmas morning, and you may not be mentally together enough to think about something this weighty very seriously. So perhaps it might be easier for us to understand this if you can visualize truth as a book. like the book that I'm holding here, which happens to be my Bible. Now, that shouldn't be all that hard for us to visualize, because we do believe that God's Word is the truth. It is true, and it is the truth. And the Bible, or this book, contains everything that is true about anything in all of creation and eternity. This book contains the truth about where we came from, how this world came into existence, how you and I came into existence. This book contains the truth about where this world is heading, where things are going. This book contains the rules that God Almighty has established, and by which all cultures are to govern themselves and to rule themselves and to live as law-abiding citizens. This book, this truth, contains the absolute reality that there is only one true God who is the author of this book, the truth, and that He alone has the key to eternal life, and He determines the way that human beings should live their lives and how we're to have a relationship with Him. And so this book contains all of this. Now, throughout history, there are people who have decided, you know what, I don't like this truth. There's really no such thing as this truth. There is either the truth or no truth. So I don't like this one, so I'm going to make up my own. I'm a smart person, and I know better than most people do, and certainly I know better than to believe that there is an almighty God who can decide what is true and what is false, and so I'm going to write my own truth. And then there's somebody else that comes along and says, I don't like what that guy said, and so I'm going to write my truth. And so there are people then that say, you know what? Nobody could really know what is true, so the best thing you can do is just decide for yourself what is true for you. So you might look at this book, and you might look at this book, and you might look at this book and decide what is true. But there's something interesting about this thing of truth and where this line of reasoning breaks down. And that is, if one book claims to be true, then it is by nature saying that every other book is false. If one says, I am truth, then no one else can contradict that or differ from that and say they are truth. There's only one truth, and it is contained in the Word of God. Now, at Christmas, it's great for us to have our college students home, and I'm always delighted to see many of our college students coming home for the holidays. And college students, I just felt I needed to encourage you at this point. Because in classes, you're going to be ridiculed and challenged by skeptical professors and other fellow students. And people will say to you that you're closed-minded because you believe that there is a God, one true God, who is determined by His thoughts what is really truth. And everything else has to answer to that. We don't have the luxury of picking and choosing. They're going to call you closed-minded because you believe that. Or they will challenge you by saying that if there is a God out there, there's no way that we can know Him, and certainly we can't know what He's thinking, so we really can't know what truth is. So really, one person's idea of what truth is just as valid as somebody else's idea of what truth is. And college students, I just want to encourage you to stand strong in your faith as you are challenged in this way. Because we believe on the authority of God's Word that God is the one true God, and what He has revealed is truth. Now in verse 38, Pilate asked an interesting question. He asked the question of the ages. What is truth? What is truth? Now we're not sure what Pilate's motives were in asking this question. It may be that he was genuinely seeking and wanting to know the answer to that question. Or it may be that he was just scoffing. Ah, what is truth? There's no such thing as truth. But the fact is that God in His Word has answered this question for us. And it's right here in the verse. So we've talked about the existence of truth. But next I want you to see the appearance of truth. The appearance of truth. We can know the truth because it appeared in the person of Jesus Christ. Again, look at verse 37. I came into the world to testify to the truth. You want to know what the reason behind Christmas is? It's stated very clearly in this verse. For this reason I was born. I like it when the Bible is that clear. For this reason I came into the world to show you truth. To show you truth. And that's exactly what has happened in the incarnation. First of all, we know that Jesus is truth. Jesus himself is truth. John 1:9 says that the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. If I could just interject here a personal testimony. Over the last several months, as we as a church have been praying together and seeking God for revival, this is the main thing that God has done in my life. He has given me a hunger to know Christ. And as I have sought to satisfy that hunger in the Word of God, Christ has become more real to me than any other time I can recall in my Christian life. Paul, in the latter part of his life, said, I want to know Christ. And as I read here in John 1:14, where it says that Christ came into this world and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth, I'm understanding more and more that all I need in life is him. Every need that I have in life is met in him, one way or the other. And so when Christ came into the world, he was truth. It is truth. But also, he not only is truth, but he also teaches and speaks truth. Scores of times in the Gospels, Jesus simply says this, I tell you the truth. Over and over again, you hear Jesus saying, I tell you the truth.